Hello, everyone. Welcome to the When It Worked podcast. You're with your host, Julian Leahy. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Scott Cartwright, the skincare Sherpa from San Diego. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Scott knows just about everything there is to know about building a skincare brand, even in terms of producing it and fulfilling it and all of that. And we're going to talk to Scott about that after we play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Let's bring up the questions for Scott. All right, first question. And, we've got a little bit of a technical glitch. Let's not worry too much. Here we go. All right. Forget-me-not flowers are typically a shade of what color? Red, yellow, blue, or green?
Yellow.
Scott, before you lock it in, I will remind you, you've got lifelines. You got a 50-50 split. Poll the audience. Or you have 30 seconds to Google it.
Does that mean that I'm not right? I don't know, but I'm going to go with yellow.
Yeah, kind of means you need to think about using a lifeline.
I like this game. Green.
Well, let's do a 50-50 split okay. And see what we come up with. All right, so what you got left is yellow or blue?
Blue.
All right, let's lock in blue. Blue is correct. Now, that's a very difficult question. I did not know the answer, and that's kind of, it's a bit unexpected, this game. Some of the difficulty, you know, you can get a hard question from question one, which shouldn't be the way it is, but that's the way it is. All right, next question. According to the 2020 census, the US population is closest to what figure? 301 million, 311 million, 331 million, 341 million. That's a lot of people.
I will go with A, 301 million.
I would say to you, use one of your lifelines.
I have 30 seconds to Google. Okay, I'll do my Google.
And start Googling. You've got 30 seconds.
Let's see. In 2020. Oh, wow. So closest to 331. C.
That's correct. Well done, Scott. That was close. Saved you there.
Wow. I'm learning stuff here. I like this.
All right. You've got one lifeline left. Let's continue on. According to a George Carlin joke, what state is truly the Garden State only if you are talking about growing smokestacks? South Carolina, New Jersey, Los Angeles, or Pennsylvania?
If I have to guess, which I have to guess, it would be B, New Jersey.
Let's lock it in. You do have one lifeline left. But New Jersey is correct. Well done. And how did you know that? Is it commonly known that New Jersey is the Garden State?
No, I just know that there's a lot of smokestacks there. I don't think there are many in South Carolina or Los Angeles or Pennsylvania.
Well, they got a lot of factories, have they, in Jersey?
In Jersey, yeah, it just seems like a lot of manufacturing places, you know. So,
gotcha, okay. Or it could be disposing of bodies from the, I shouldn't say that, the mafia.
No,
I won't say that. All right, continuing on. According to an old adage, one should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a what?
Like dieter, a pauper.
Pauper, doctor, or drunkard. Sounds like Scott,
the pauper,
skincare Sherpa knows this one. That's correct. All right, Scott has rebounded. He could go all the way. All right, we've got a dog question. Cockapoos are hybrid dogs created by breeding Cocker Spaniels and what other dogs? Labradors, Jack Russell Terriers, Poodles, or King Charles Cavaliers?
What? I will go with sea poodles.
All right, let's lock in sea poodles for a cockapoo. That's correct. Well done, Scott Cartwright.
Thank
you. Made it to the $1,000 safe zone. Continuing on, how exciting. Also known as the striped polecat, the Zorilla closely resembles what other black and white animal? Zebra, Malayan tapir, skunk, or panda? You've got one lifeline left, Scott. If you're not sure, this is a very hard question. Well, to me it is. If you want to use that lifeline, you can do so.
I'll use a lifeline.
Okay. Do you have any idea, just if you were to guess, what would you guess?
I would guess the panda.
Right. All right, let's take a look at the lifeline, poll the audience. We're just waiting for the audience votes to come in. Hopefully somebody's watching. All right, we've got some votes coming in. All right, let's take a look. Are you in? Okay, we've got 23%.
B 9%,
which is Malayan tapir. C 60%, which is skunk, and D panda is 8%. A strong lead for skunk. C.
For skunk. Yeah. Okay. Well, does your audience usually know what they're talking about?
They cheat and they Google it.
Okay, so I'll go with C then.
Let's lock it in. That is correct. Scott Cartwright, the skincare Sherpa, has made it to 2,000. And if he goes all the way, he could qualify for the Champions Round, where we actually play for real money.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be hard to do, though, with no lifelines left. But let's see what happens. All right, this is a tough one. In 2010, the long-running Kathy comic strip ended with Kathy making what revelation? She has 3 months to live. Goodbye. I quit. She's having a baby girl. Do you remember the comic strip called Kathy? I actually do remember it.
No idea.
It's like she had like black hair, straight black hair. It was back in the days when they had comic strips in newspapers. I don't know if they still do. And what did she come up with? So basically it's going to be a guess. This was the last comic strip of Kathy. And what did she say? She has 3 months to live, goodbye, I quit, or she is having a baby girl.
I'm going to go with something positive.
Let's
she's having
lock
a baby
it
girl.
In. D, she's having a baby girl. This is nerve-wracking stuff. That's correct. Well done to Scott Cartwright, the skincare Sherpa. Also the game show Sherpa. All right, continuing on. Scott's still alive. An aviation fanatic and devout Scientologist, what film star is a licensed commercial pilot and flies his own Boeing 707 jet? Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Giovanni Ribisi, or Jenna Elfman?
I will go with... You're going to give me a hint?
Well, I think you might be onto something, but what were you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards B, John Travolta.
Let's lock in John Travolta or Vincent Vegas. That is correct. Well done, Scott Cartwright. Still alive, up at the $8,000 mark. Who knows? This could be an incredible surge towards the end with no lifelines left. Will Scott make it?
Will he or will he not? I would not bet on that, but...
Nor would I.
You never
know. Believed by the ancient Greeks to be a sacred or holy bone, the sacrum is located in what part of the human body? The ribs, the shoulders, the pelvis, or the feet?
Hmm. I will go with, I'm torn. See, this is where I need 50-50, yeah. But I will go with C. C, pelvis. Let's
lock in the pelvis. Pelvis is correct. Well done, Scott. Incredible. $16,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions to go. This would be amazing. Let's continue on.
It would be amazing.
Asthma is a medical condition that primarily affects what bodily system? Cardiovascular, respiratory, lymphatic, or digestive?
I will go with B, respiratory.
That was, thankfully, an easy question. But there haven't been too many easy ones. Well done,
no,
Scott.
No, no. It's harder for me to say respiratory instead of respiratory.
Yeah. Like Australian I would normally say. Throws people off.
Yeah. But I'm on your show, so.
When in Rome, as they
respiratory.
Say.
Respiratory.
All right. So, well, that's the $32,000 safe zone. Well done. Now I'm starting to buy stocks in Scott Cartwright. I'm a believer. He can go all the way. Let's take a look. Curds and whey, Miss Muffet's snacks of choice, are created during what culinary process? Cheese, porridge, rice pudding, or bread? So curds and whey, Miss Muffet. Now, Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet and eating curds and whey. So what are curds and whey a byproduct of? Cheese, porridge, rice pudding, or bread? No lifelines left.
I'll go with cheese, but I was just trying to remember, you know, when along came a spider and sat down beside her. What happened after that when the spider sat down beside her? I can't think of it.
Making her run away or...
Along came a spider and sat down beside her. Chasing this Muffet away.
Yes, okay. So there's no clues, but we have an answer from Chris. Scott. Let's lock it in. Jesus, Craig, well done. Scott Cartwright, the skincare Sherpa is on fire. Wow. Four questions to go. Well, actually, I think it's three questions.
Make them easy.
Three questions. Albany and New York City are two major ports on what river? Colorado, Rio Grande, Mississippi River, or Hudson River? You're on the other side. You're on the West Coast.
I'm on the way other side, but I would think that it would be the Hudson River.
The Hudson River, which is in New York, is the answer. Well done.
Which is in New York. There, looking there.
This is incredible. I don't think anybody has gone this far with no lifelines in the history of this game.
You're supposed to just stop it. I don't think anyone has ever gone this far, and then I would have made me happy.
No, you've definitely, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame for this performance. In 2011, what media mogul found himself in the center of a widespread phone hacking scandal? Media mogul, Rupert Murdoch, Ted Turner, Michael Bloomberg, or Mark Cuban? 2011, which media mogul found himself in the center of a widespread phone hacking scandal?
Oh, boy.
Rupert Murdoch, Ted Turner, Michael Bloomberg, or Mark Cuban? Who's the most evil out of all of those?
I have no idea. I am going to go with... C, Michael Bloomberg.
Let's lock in C, Michael Bloomberg. Unfortunately, the answer was Rupert Murdoch. Actually, born in Australia, but we don't admit to owning him anymore. But well done, Scott Cartwright. Let's have a round of applause for Scott. A great effort. He got all the way to the $125,000 mark with very few options. All right, now, Scott, you've got a great deal of experience in the skincare industry. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey in that field? And, you know, you were in the Navy to start with. How did you go from there to becoming a bit of a guru in skincare?
Yeah, so I was in the Navy for some time, flew jets off of nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, and that doesn't usually transition into skincare manufacturing. So there's a lot of things that happen between there. You know, they say the road to success is not a straight line. It's a whole bunch of jagged points. But what I did learn in the Navy was, you know, just attention to detail and the ability to follow checklists and determination, enthusiasm about things. But so all of that kind of turned into skincare. I just realized that it's a large market and people really care about it. And so several years ago, I decided to start a skincare brand. I started it from scratch. I grew it up to about 3.5 million or so in annual sales. Sold the company, and then I acquired a skincare manufacturing company. And so what I do now is I help people along that journey from the start, from just when they have the first idea or even before they have an idea, plant a little seed in them. That, you know, I always say everybody has a skincare product inside of them. It's just waiting to come out. And then so I just help people along that full journey to from that initial seed to launching a successful skincare brand.
That's incredible, Scott, that you decided to just start a skincare brand. And what are some of the, I guess, mistakes and things that you discovered along the way? There's so many different aspects to it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the steps involved and what are some of the things that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, I'd say the first common mistake, or the main common mistake, is that everybody wants to start with a product. And while the product is important, you know, you want to have a good quality product, but what's more important is to start with the people. And that seems to be the step that most entrepreneurs want to skip over. And so I always encourage people to find the perfect target audience. And usually that audience is one that you are a member of. So let's say, for example, I have problems with dandruff. Then I would want to or should create a product that's specific to dandruff, specific to hair care, because I can speak about it. I know about it. I'm in that market. I can be passionate about it. I know what the pain points are. And I've tried a bunch of different things. You know, so when you try a bunch of different products, you know what works from each of those different products, and then you can kind of combine those together. But the benefit of starting with people is that you know what those pain points are that I mentioned. And when you start with people, you can really reach out to those people and find out what they really, really want and what we're looking for. It's kind of like a focus group, if you will, people to test out things. So, because you always want to make sure something, the product that you're creating and using the people is something that they want and need, and that there's a pain point around it, and something that they're willing to pay for. So I always recommend start with people first. And then after you get the people, then there's the product, and then there's the platform. And so the people, we just talked about the product, just clearly the product that you're selling. And then the platform is the sales platform. Those are three things that you need if you're going to have a successful brand. You need a place to sell it.
Yeah. Do you find that sometimes people get this idea for a product and they're really committed to it, even though perhaps maybe it's not what people want? Do you find that sometimes you have to kind of talk people back from a product that they're committed to, and steer them towards a different direction that would probably be more successful?
I do, and it happens often, because what happens is people see a hot product out there, and so they just want to jump on the bandwagon of selling a hot product. And it's understandable, you know, if somebody, you know, rivers flow and you want to just jump in and get your piece of it. So it could be a vitamin C serum, you know, from a couple years ago. And vitamin C serums are probably still doing well to this day. But if you try to jump in that sea of people selling vitamin C serums, it's really hard for you to differentiate yourself. You know, you need something unique about you and your product that's going to stand out, that's going to make people leave the product that they have, or not buy the product that has 100,000 reviews because they've been selling it for so long. They're buying it in big quantities so they can sell it for $2, you know, where you're not going to be able to do that because you're just starting out buying a few of them. So the way to differentiate yourself is to focus on something where there's a real need, where you can build an audience and a community around it. And then once you've done that, then you could sell a product for $25 or $35 because the product speaks to a pain point. The people in the group like it. It's not just some copycat Me Too product. And all those things make it much, much easier to stand out and be different because, you know, at the end of the day, what's another vitamin C serum going to do? But if you have a specific problem, a product that treats, let's say, you know, eczema, for example, eczema in kids, then you can charge what you want to charge for that. And you can speak to the pain of the mothers that are experiencing it, the pain of the kids, because it can be painful or can't go outside or whatever the case may be. Then it's not just another, you know, copycat product. You really have something that's helpful in the market.
Yes, as they say, Scott, the riches are in the niches. And I often people are scared to niche down because they feel like they're going to be missing out on market share in a more general sense. But it's rarely the case. And I really like that idea of what Scott mentioned was focus on an ailment, you know, and then build your product and brand around a particular niche ailment. And you're really going to stand out to people affected by that, and you will not be, you know, making the mistake of not standing out to anyone, which is a bad idea. That's awesome, Scott. And what do people do if they want to have a chat to you and they say, Scott, I've got this idea for a skincare brand, and I want to find out what to do. What happens next if people want to visit your website and get in touch with you? What can they expect?
Right. So the best way to reach out to me is just the email, honestly. And I'm at scott@theskincaresherpa.com. You can shoot me an email. I'm responsive. I'll get back to you like that. And then we'll just talk from there. I have also videos on some reels on Instagram, The Skincare Sherpa, as well as YouTube channel, The Skincare Sherpa on YouTube, where I am actually documenting my journey. I'm launching some new skincare brands myself. And so on YouTube, you can follow along with that journey from the start. I'm like halfway through now. I don't even know if it's halfway because it's never ending. You know, you just keep going and growing. So I'm at the beginning of it. So on YouTube, follow along there as well. Again, that channel is The Skincare Sherpa. But answering your question, scott@theskincaresherpa.com is the best way to reach out to
me. And the good thing about you, Scott, is that you're in many ways an all-in-one shop, because not only are you able to help people build the brand, you also own manufacturing facilities, and you can help them with distribution and all of that stuff, which I don't think many people would have that kind of access that you've got, Scott. Would you say that's an important point?
Yeah, no, that's great for bringing up and reminding me. Yeah, I own a skincare manufacturing company, so that's always helpful. So we make skincare, hair care, body care, and pet care products. And so most manufacturers that you reach out to, and I've talked to, you know, hundreds of people about it, it's hard to get a manufacturer to return your calls, because most manufacturing companies are looking for huge $100,000 bottle orders and things like that. So for the entrepreneur just coming up, it's hard for them to get started. Whereas I have a boutique skincare manufacturing company, and we're specifically work with entrepreneurs who are just starting out. And so we help you from the formulation phase, you know, creating the recipe for the product, through the packaging and labeling design, through the manufacturing process. And then on the back end, we can store the product for you, as well as handle any fulfillment that you need. So if you're going to send it to Amazon for Amazon FBA, we'll take care of that for you. Or we can keep the product in-house and use it to fulfill your online orders. You know, we pick, pack, and ship for you for your online orders, or for Amazon or anything TikTok related. You know, TikTok shop is blowing up. So we can send out the orders for your TikTok shop and all to, and like you said, most manufacturers are most manufacturers have not started and grown and sold a skincare brand. They just know manufacturing, so they're just trying to manufacture. But we really do a lot of hand holding through the process because, you know, people don't know what they're doing. Understandably, they've never done it before. And so it's a lot of hand holding, VIP treatment, just because we want to make sure you're successful.
That's fabulous, Scott. So if you are one of these people that's thinking of building releasing your own skincare brand or product, have a chat to Scott, scott@theskincaresherpa.com. And thank you to Scott Cartwright for coming on.
Thanks so much, Julian.
Wonderful. And thanks for listening and watching. I'm going to wrap things up. See you very soon.